Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots out there across the free zones, which is where we are broadcasting from right now in the heart of the American Redoubt. You are listening on the KTW AM 630 or 96.5 FM on the dial if you're in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area. For everyone else out there, live streaming, especially those of you that are outside the wire in occupied territory, God bless you, and God bless the patriots in Virginia that are standing up right now against the tyranny that's taken over that state, much like what we've seen happen in Olympia recently. But it's even worse there. So we're going to talk about that today. Pretty wild stuff happening. I'm going to share the testimony of a federal law enforcement officer. Several folks have sent this to me. His testimony to the Virginia Assembly, I believe, if my notes are correct, powerful testimony from a law enforcement officer perspective and a veteran, and just a common sense, level headed approach, not the common sense type of common sense gun laws type common sense. We're talking real common sense. So, that and, of course, many more things. But today is December 7th. We want to take a moment just to remember that and reflect on what that is really all about. That was December 7th in 1941 when the Japanese pulled us into World War II by attacking Pearl Harbor. And the Second World War ensued. And there's just a really neat story here. There are only just, three or four survivors still left alive. And so I found this story this week. It's just really cool. I wanted to share it with you guys. It's about Lauren Bruner. He's a survivor of the USS Arizona, which was attacked on December 7th, 1941. Well, he died earlier this year, 98 years old. Now, when the Japanese launched a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, sailor Lauren Bruner was the second to the last person to get off the USS Arizona alive. This is from NPR, actually covered this. I'll put a link in the highlights and resources posting so you guys can go see that, share it if you'd like. But Bruner and five others were stranded on the doomed ship when a sailor on a repair ship spotted them, threw them a line, and saved them. Even though Bruner was badly burned and had been shot twice, the 21-year-old managed to climb to safety. He died in September of this year at the age of 98, and on Saturday, tonight, his remains will return to the USS Arizona. He's expected to be the final USS Arizona survivor to be interred on the sunken warship. So they're going to have his remains, his ashes, in an urn. They're going to hand off to some divers, and they're going to dive down and place his ashes inside the hull. There are actually three other survivors of the USS Arizona who are still alive, but they have chosen to make other arrangements when they pass away. So this is the last of the survivors who will be interred there at the Arizona. So pretty amazing. That's one of the things on my bucket list is to go to Pearl Harbor and visit the memorial there and see the USS Arizona. But that was an amazing time. World War II, the Axis powers were bent on taking over the world and led by evil, vile people. And in Germany, Germany, Italy, Japan. And what the Japanese did to the Chinese is just beyond imagination. Unbelievable. But they did the most evil, vile things to their own citizens. Even we're not talking about just invading a foreign country, although that happened as well. Czechoslovakia, Poland. They didn't invade. They just walked in and took over Austria, France, all of Europe. But prior to that, even, they were killing their own citizens after they disarmed them, after marginalizing them, then demonizing them, then criminalizing them, then incarcerating them, and then finally they executed them, their own citizens. Someone sent a meme to me this week. It's a famous picture many of you have seen with several SS, German SS officers, obviously from World War II. And there is an open grave full of bodies. And there is a man sitting alive on the edge of that berm with a SS officer, pistol in his hand, leaning forward with the pistol pointed at the man sitting at the edge of the mass grave. The picture was taken just before he was executed. But this is a meme that has been recirculated, and the caption says, "This is why you can't have my AR-15. They had rendered themselves disarmed. They followed the common sense gun measures that were just meant to keep guns out of the wrong hands, to make sure that the mentally ill or people that just shouldn't have them don't get their hands on them. So there is a historical reason why we should not only have AR-15s, but full M16s, M4s, M249s. The founding fathers intended for the citizenry to be armed with the same type of weapons that a standing army would have. But the fight is just really underway. They're doubling down on their efforts, spending millions and millions of dollars on anti-gun campaigns to convince us to disarm. And where the citizens do not want to be persuaded to disarm themselves, they're coercing them through legislation, which I thought was really an interesting statement this week from Nancy Pelosi, saying that President Trump must be impeached. We must act because of the unconstitutional, how he's violated the Constitution, which is would be laughable if it wasn't so serious, because of the blatant violations of the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, just goes on and on and on, how these laws are passed that are in clear violation of the Constitution. If that was the standard for removing somebody from office, we wouldn't have much of a government left. We'd have about 30 people running our whole government. But there is some great coverage coming out right now, and the battlefield is Virginia right now. Cold War is simmering right now. The pressure is building. From USSANews.com, which is the U.S. Second Amendment News.com website, they've got an article that came out this week. Virginia residents overwhelmingly respond to governor seeking to strip their Second Amendment right. Now, this is sounding very familiar for those of you living in Liberty State, is it not? Or the Patriots that are trapped in occupied territory on the west side of the mountains in the greater Seattle area, where Olympia has now the governor, the Senate, the House, and they're just going down their wish list and passing everything. Well, that's what's just happened in Virginia. So this has been a frog being boiled slowly in Washington. In Virginia, this is pretty abrupt, and it has startled so many people awake and into action. It's actually good to see. It's encouraging to see. But I didn't want to share this article with you, but I want to share the testimony from an active federal law enforcement officer who gave testimony to the mindset that is taking over, the danger that they are placing law enforcement officers in by pushing through these gun laws. And I don't have time to really get into this a whole lot with this article. Virginia residents have responded overwhelmingly to Democratic Ralph Northam's all-out assault on the right to bear arms by declaring many counties to have Second Amendment sanctuary status. If I have time, I'll come back to this. Well, the attorney general weighed in. And remember, just pause. Remember in Washington state, all of the sheriffs and police chiefs who said, we will not enforce these unconstitutional laws. I-1639, several components of that we will not enforce because it's unconstitutional. And the attorney general, Bob Ferguson, put out the warning and even stating that they might even use state law enforcement resources to enforce that law where sheriffs and police chiefs won't enforce it, and which is going to bring us to the point where we have to ask the question, or they'll be forced to answer the question, those law enforcement officers who said they will not violate their oath and they will not enforce unconstitutional laws. And at some point, the decision is going to have to be made when whether or not they will stop short at saying, I will not violate the Constitution. And when will they transition to, you will not, in my jurisdiction, violate the Constitution. It's going to be interesting. There's definitely a showdown happening across the country. There's hot spots. Virginia is definitely the hot spot. And Attorney General of Virginia, Attorney General Mark Herring, has responded to the trend of Virginia counties passing Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions ahead of next year's General Assembly. In other words, a bunch of gun laws are coming. And when we pass them, he's saying these laws will be enforced. So there's going to be a clash between counties and cities that are passing Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances and the attorney general that is prepared to enforce unconstitutional, that means unlawful, laws passed by Marxist leftists who have taken over the Virginia government. And they're about ready to go into session and start passing these laws. So he's saying, before you even start thinking about passing these Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances, just know we are going to enforce these laws that don't even exist yet. But they have an agenda. And I'll visit some of those laws that failed last year when they had a Republican majority, but now they have a Democrat majority, the governor, the Senate, and the House. And they're going to go right down their wish list, just like they did in Olympia, and just like the Olympia is going to do again this year, but worse. If it could be worse, but it can be. So here's some testimony. Here's a testimony given to the Assembly by Ben Woods, federal law enforcement officer. Thank God for this reasoned, level-headed, common sense response to what this legislative body is prepared to do this coming legislative session. Take a listen.
Ben Woods.
Ma'am.
Please begin.
Board. My name is Ben Joseph Woods. I came here to Fairfax County, originally from southwestern Virginia. I was a graduate of Southern Virginia University. Since 2003, I've been in the public service or in the military. I served in the Army on active duty, served in the Marine Corps on active duty, and I'm now a major in the Marine Corps Reserves. I'm also a federal law enforcement officer stationed here. With all of that said, I would like to caveat anything that I'm saying is not an official statement. I want to address to the board a little bit of a darker topic here that most people have been unwilling to talk about. Virginia is at a boiling point. It's not just gun laws. And it's not climate change, and it's not any one particular thing, but it is true that we are very, very polarized right now as a society. I think we can all agree on that, correct? The problem is that as we are polarized, we have two groups of people who fundamentally believe the same things about justice and about rights, and yet both of those groups, they tend to conveniently forget their fundamental beliefs about people's rights when it suits them. And that happens on both sides. So the legislature, as several speakers have said before, have a number of gun bills that they have pre-filed and intend to vote on. These bills have been called reasonable by their advocates, and they have been called draconian or unconstitutional or any number of things by their opponents. I'm not going to address the bills themselves. What I would like to address is the fact that at this point, so many people believe that these are unconstitutional or draconian that you have, as of last night, 30 counties in this state which have voted themselves either through resolutions or through actual county ordinances to be Second Amendment sanctuary counties. The ugly truth of our situation is that that is just scratching the surface of what is happening. I work plainclothes law enforcement. I walk around without a uniform. People don't see my badge. People don't see my gun. And I can tell you, people are angry. And I am frightened to the point that I am looking at moving my wife and child, my child-to-be, March, my wife and child out of the state if these bills pass. The reason is because my fellow law enforcement officers I've heard on more than one occasion tell me that they would not enforce these bills regardless of whether they believe in them ideologically, because they believe that there are so many people angry in gun shops, gun shows, at bars. We have heard it now. People talking about tar and feathering politicians in a less than joking manner. People talking about fighting with violence over their concern with Senate Bill 16 and Senate Bill 64. That is a terrifying prospect, and I have never seen people willing to speak about something like that publicly. That said, as a law enforcement officer, I empathize with concerns people have over gun violence, and it has touched my family very closely, as my wife Jennifer is a graduate of Columbine High School. I will not go into her personal relationships with the people that she lost, but years and years later now, she still looks at that event with terror and at the same time finds herself being extraordinarily pro-gun. My wife is a scientist. She is an astrophysicist. She's much smarter than I am, but not smart enough to know she shouldn't have married me. She constantly reminds me that we must, as a society, let reason rule emotions when we are making laws and when we are enforcing law. Emotion should come into play when we are granting mercy, but not when we are trying to decide who we are going to crucify.
Ben, your red light has been on for some time. If you could just please sum up.
Yes, ma'am. The Attorney General was asked recently whether or not Second Amendment sanctuary statutes or resolutions were legal. And his response in his statement that he just released was that the legal precedent we would set by allowing communities to selectively ignore those laws at will is alarming and indicative of the same mindset that nearly 150 years ago led this country to dissolve into a civil war. I have corrected his statement to reflect where we truly are sitting today. What his statement should have said is that the legal precedent we would set by allowing the legislature to selectively ignore enumerated rights at will is the same mindset that 150 years ago led this country into a civil war. I
encourage all of you. So please come together with our other counties.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Pretty powerful testimony, isn't it? Well, it makes sense to you and me, but is it enough? Will it be enough to persuade people who are essentially irrational, pushing an agenda that defies sanity? I don't know. We can only hope. But more on Virginia and what's going on when we come back. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and this segment was brought to you by Works Holsters. Works LLC, WERKZ.com, for your custom Kydex holsters and magazine carriers made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Stay right there.
Never give in. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Very specifically, we have to ask ourselves and answer a question, every individual. Are we a loyalist or are we a patriot? Are we God-fearing, freedom-loving, self-reliant Americans? Or are we government-dependent, Constitution-ignoring socialists? That is the question we all have to answer. And I appreciate Radio Free Readout because they've been answering that question quite well to many people in this area for a long, long time.
Segment two of the Voice of the American Redoubt here at the John Jacob Schmidt Show. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Segment two is brought to you by our friends at Riverfront Suites. Riverfrontsuites.com is the website. Six fully furnished suites on the St. Joe River in beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho, about an hour south of Coeur d'Alene. Check out riverfrontsuites.com to learn more. Now, before we get too much further into this, I just got to remind you guys, we've been talking about this on the Sunday night podcast, but our annual Young Partisans one-time pad Christmas contest is underway. Those numbers will be read this Sunday night. If you haven't been following, you still got time to get your Young Partisans. If you're 17 years old or younger, you've got a shot at winning an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock, and this thing which tells time. And you guys are familiar with that line. It's only mentioned, 30 times throughout the movie, The Christmas Story. We've got our hands on a Daisy Museum authentic replica of this rifle, and it really does have a compass in the stock and a sundial thing that tells time. Beautiful. It's number 1771 of only 2,500 made, donated by a grown-up adult partisan who is retired law enforcement from California, who redoubted, took the gap to the American Redoubt, and has donated one of these now. This is 4 years in a row that we have ran this contest. You get to decrypt a secret coded message. This year, a little bit different. You're going to also encrypt a secret message and send that to me, John Jacob. So all the instructions are there at RadioFreeRedoubt.com and Amron.com. Now, before we close out, a couple things I wanted to point to, because I could go on and on. For this could be a two-hour show just covering this. But in response to this, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned how patriots are waking up, they're organizing, they're putting messaging campaigns together to encourage and inform and inspire other patriots in the face of this Marxist agenda. And I pointed out Radio Free Europe, in the spirit of Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty, now there's a Radio Free California, there is a Radio Free Alberta, and they've been in contact with me, and they're starting up Radio Free, wherever they are, as a message of freedom to the patriots in these occupied zones. Well, now we've got the latest edition, Radio Free Virginia, is underway, and they've got a website, radiofreeva.com. They've got episode 19-1 is now posted, Radio Free Virginia. So God bless you guys for jumping into the fight. You've got quite a fight ahead of you. Thank you for doing that and stepping up and being a voice of reason and hope and encouragement for those in Virginia, where the Cold War is potentially going to go hot if the Marxists get their way. I'll be talking tomorrow night about the Santa Net for the kids on ham radio, where you can tune in and actually talk to Santa Claus if you know a ham radio operator. And we'll have details on that tomorrow night. But before we go, there is a meme that I was just sent showing Chinese protesters waving American flags. And it's captioned with this, a message to us: be the America Hong Kong thinks you are. That's quite a statement. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at RadioFreeRedoubt.com for our weekly podcast. And until then, you guys have a blessed and safe weekend. This is John Jacob Schmidt. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name, too.